Welcome to the South Shore's Morning News Weekend Review Podcast. I'm Rob Hackelow. Listen for the next 30 minutes as we take a look back at some of the big interviews from the week on the South Shore's Morning News, which airs live weekdays from 5 to 10 a.m. We're going to talk with acclaimed Tony, Emmy, and Grammy-winning composer and writer David Yazbek, who's teamed up with another Tony Award winner, David Cromer, to make Dead Outlaw, a play with music. And this is going to be released globally on Audible, and we're going to talk about Dead Outlaw. It really is a fascinating story about Elmer McCurdy. Let's get all the details now. Joining us now is David Yazbek. David, good morning, and welcome to WATD.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. This is a fascinating story, one I had never heard about Elmer McCurdy, but this is a story that has apparently fascinated you for decades. Tell me.
A friend of mine told me this story in 1976 in Southern California at an amusement park ride. Sort of a House of Horrors ride, and these details will blow your mind a little bit. A remote crew for the $6 million man TV show was set dressing the ride on location.
Yeah.
And a Teamster was told to move this day-glow red wax dummy that was hanging against the wall. He went to move it, the arm came off in his hand, and he found a bone. And he realized this is not a dummy. This is a mummy.
This is a real story. Okay.
This is all true. The mummy was rushed to the county coroner, who had to solve the mystery of who this was. And it turns out that this was a man named Elmer McCurdy, who was born around 1880. He was a itinerant criminal. He was not very good at his job as a criminal. He would blow up a safe with nitroglycerin, and all the silver in the safe would fuse to the sides of the wall. That really happened. Couldn't get it. He ended up robbing a train that was supposed to have $300,000 of Osage Indian mineral rights money on it. He and his team robbed the wrong train. They came away with a watch and some rum, and he was chased by a posse and killed at the age of about 32, 33. And he was brought to the coroner of Pawhuska County, who embalmed him with arsenic, as they used to do. Mm-hmm. And no one claimed the body, so the body desiccated, turned into a mummy, basically, slowly.
Yeah.
He was very briefly famous for having tried to rob a train, because that was a very glamorous type of crime. Of course, he was dead, so he couldn't enjoy it. He always wanted to be famous, but now he was dead. And people would come to see the famous outlaw, and the coroner started charging, propped him up in the corner with a gun to make it a more interesting exhibit, and then finally, two guys claiming to be his brothers picked him up from the coroner's office. They were not his brothers. They owned a sideshow. And this was the beginning of his actual career, like his very successful showbiz career, going from coast to coast in the country, appearing in sideshows, exhibitions, outside movie theaters, eventually in exploitation films. It all led him to that dark ride in Southern California in 1976.
Crazy story.
And wow. It's a crazy story. Is it a musical? Well, I guess it is, because it's a hit. So,
well, yeah. So I mean, normally you wouldn't feel bad for a criminal, but Elmer McCurdy, you know, as you said, he's kind of this dumb criminal. I read he had a little brief time in New England, at time in Maine, but he'd spend much of his time in other parts of the country. And so you're right, he's dead. And so he gets released to these guys who they say they're his relatives, but they don't have any intention of giving him a proper burial. They're going to take him and use this mummy to make money.
That was a very important part of a sideshow, is to have a real human mummy. They were just the first. You know, he was passed around 4, 5, 6, 7 different times, or sold or borrowed, until nobody knew who he was. They would, you know, if you needed to say that, oh, we have a mummy from ancient Persia, well, you put a turban on him, mm-hmm. you know, his name was forgotten, his identity was forgotten until 1976, when the mystery was solved by the county coroner of Los Angeles.
Wow. Elmer McCurdy. And he did finally get a appropriate burial, right?
Well, yes. He was brought back. He was born in Searsmont, Maine, but he was killed in Pawhuska County. And The county fathers of Pawhuska County, especially Guthrie, Oklahoma, said, "We want the body. We'll bury him very, very, you know, with not a clown show, not a circus. We'll bury him on Boot Hill." Now, of course, they were trying to promote local tourism, so there was a bit of a circus. But Thomas Noguchi, the county coroner of Los Angeles, insisted that he be buried and under I forget how many tons of cement. So after he was buried, they backed up a cement truck and poured cement in so that no one could ever bother him again.
No more traveling around for Elmer McCurdy.
He's down there. You'll never get him out of there.
Dead outlaw. Well, David, I know we're just about out of time. So how can people experience this that want to see the work that you put together, David Yazbek, about the musical?
Well, first way to experience it is rush down to New York before April 14th. It's at the Minetta Lane Theater. I suspect it will move eventually to commercial off-Broadway or Broadway, but don't wait for that. Come down, see it in a small theater. Then in October, this is really exciting, we recorded the entire show in a studio, almost like an old radio play with sound effects and all the songs. We just finished recording. They were going to release it on the Audible platform in October, and that will be amazing to me, because I've always loved that kind of audio experience. If you want to see it, and you want to see it now, which I suggest you do, I know it's a long trip, but it's worth it. Come to New York before April 14th to the Minetta Lane Theater. It's called Dead Outlaw.
Dead Outlaw. David Yazbek, thank you so much, David.
Thank you, Rob.
All right, that's David Yazbek with us. He's got a run. I know he's got another interview to go to. So Dead Outlaw is the name of the show. It's an incredible story, and I had never heard about. Did you guys hear about Elmer McCurdy before? Again, as I said, this is the guy around the early 1900s. He is, I guess, to the 1800s to the 1900s, wanted to be a criminal, robbing trains, learned how to blow things up from his brief stint in the Army. And as you heard before, he just couldn't quite figure out how to get the explosive, the nitroglycerin, apparently just correct. As you heard, when he would blow up a safe, sometimes it'd be too much. He'd melt all the coins and the metal together and make it all useless. But Elmer McCurdy would eventually be gunned down. And as you heard, his body would be mummified. And the people of the time used him, and others did as well, as part of a show as they traveled around with their mummified sideshow act, Elmer McCurdy. So it is being made into a musical called Dead Outlaw, and joining us this morning has been David Yazbek to talk all about it.
Well, she's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner.
All right, we're going back into the 1970s. In this segment, we have a local author who spends a lot of time on the South Shore. Her name is Leslie Myrovich-Waite. She is on the program today, so we're going to talk about her young adult novel. It is called Jezebel, and I think you're really going to enjoy this. Again, young adults will enjoy it, and also baby boomers and people that grew up in the 1970s as well, remembering those times. And in studio is Leslie. She is with us this morning. Leslie, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me, Rob.
Well, it's so wonderful to meet you in person. And this was exciting when we had one of our listeners that reached out, Joanne, who's one of our great WATD listeners, and said, you got to get a chance to know Leslie Waite. She's got an amazing book. And I said, absolutely. Let's get her on the program.
Thank you.
So this is great. So tell me, you're someone that grew up, spent a lot of time around here. You kind of divided your time between here and New York, but you got a lot of connections to the South Shore and specifically the ocean.
Absolutely. Hull summers. I grew up in Hull I lived in Newton and Boston, and my family has a house in Hull. I actually am living in that house right now. I put full time.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time as a teenager at Cambridge Commons and Boston Commons and going into the city. And I used, Boston and Cambridge and Hull is a character in my book because it was so rich in that time period with music and politics and everything. It was very vibrant.
So much going on. You're right. The 1970s, and we think about what it was like to grow up with the music and the culture and the politics and the changes in the country. So tell me about the premise of this story, because this is a fictional story, although you say you draw from some real experience. So it's 16-year-old Jezebel Burke. Kind of set the scene for what Jezebel's all about.
Well, she's coming of age in this time. She's coming from a kind of mixed-up family. Her mom's a drinker. Her dad's not around a lot. And she's discovery. She wants discovering herself and the world around her. She's looking for someone to believe in her, to listen to her. And she also thinks she's going to find her way by finding a jazz piano teacher. So she goes to, she has a fake ID. She goes to the clubs in Boston and Cambridge and tries to look for, she meets people like, well, it actually Bonnie Raitt, but I didn't use Bonnie Raitt's name because, you know, I just didn't want to get mixed up there. But, you know, musicians she meets, and she's looking, she's on a search.
She's on a search. And along the way, she does meet some interesting characters.
Oh, yeah. She, I have an excerpt here. I don't know if I have time to read it, but it's...
You want to go
ahead? Yeah, let me just read this, because she loves Boston Common. She meets different characters, some that are really good and like helpful and wise, and some that aren't so much. And so she learns about, you know, taking risks aren't so, you know, you have to be careful which risks you take.
Yeah. I mean, usually as someone at that age, we think we're invulnerable. And I think more people are prone to take risks, certainly at that age.
Absolutely. And I think people will, you know, as I said, people, are, you know, in the 70s who grew up in that age will look back and say, oh, yeah, I remember that. For example, OK, I'm just going to read this paragraph.
Yeah,
that's
go
okay.
ahead.
OK, she's taking the train and with her girlfriend, and then here we go. A few stops later, we emerged from the train at Boston Common, and bells and chanting filled the air. The Hare Krishnas were here. They had recently appeared all over town, Logan Airport, Commonwealth Ave, Copley Square, Cambridge Commons, and I loved how free and happy they were. Six of them were by the grass, and we watched as they danced, played hand cymbals, and chanted, with one man playing a small wooden boxy piano that had a pump. Men's heads were shaved except for ponytails that were different lengths and colors. Two women had colorful scarves over long hair and orange flowing robes. A cute Hare Krishna with a ponytail, a blonde ponytail, and blazing blue eyes, not much older than us, approached holding a book. I glanced at its title, Science of Self-Realization. I reached for it and Amy slapped my hand away. Don't touch it! My eyebrows raised as the boy kept smiling. Do you want a free vegetarian meal? He asked. I was about to say yes when Amy grabbed my arm and we ran off, laughing. Wait, why'd you do that? I wanted the book, and he was cute. We caught our breath and walked towards the duck pond. Once you touch their book, they make you take it. After that, they want money, and you know, it's hard to get away. I didn't know if I wanted to get away. They seemed so happy, dancing and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. Maybe I'll join. Amy laughed. Your dad would find you and beat the crap out of you. I reached for a licorice stick and stuck the spicy sweet candy in my mouth. That's true. What should we do next?
There you go. It's a bit of Jezebel. That's the author reading it for us this morning. We're lucky to have her.
She meets all these characters, yeah. Rob, and she, you know, some, as I said before, are helpful and wise, and some take her down not such a great path.
Wow. All right. So what was the inspiration for writing this book, Jezebel?
Oh, you know, I've written all my life. This one, I just wanted to kind of pay homage to my upbringing and, mm-hmm. you know, the richness of going to Cambridge Common concerts, Boston Common, Hull, how much the waves and diving. She dives in a lot of waves in this book, in Hull, and how much that really helped me. And how rich of a atmosphere that was.
A lot of people remember they talk about Hull with the music and how that, you know, all those
Paragon
places.
Park, the yeah. roller coaster.
You know, the scene, you're right, the vibe, yeah, the music, yeah. the hanging out,
yeah.
The unchaperoned times.
Oh, absolutely.
Of growing up.
Right, we didn't have cell phones, so people couldn't trace us.
No, it really was, you know, it's something so many people have a nostalgia for. I think to look back, the times that we never get back, and as you talk about all the issues and the different changes going on in society and impeach Nixon, and you talk about people holding up signs and remembering all those events. So Jezebel, this is going back to the 1970s, and you said people that read this are going to really enjoy the nostalgia and also the places that Jezebel
Absolutely.
Visits.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Right? She's becoming a feminist, and she goes to a lot of the different bookstores. There used to be George's Folly in Coolidge Corner. There used to be a lot of different things. Also, you know, I have a new book coming out, and it takes place in New York City. I really like to use place as a character, too.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
Leslie Myrovitz-Waite is with us today, and I know you mentioned before we go, we're going to
yes.
be giving away we're going to give away a copy of a book, but also there's going to be some upcoming library and author events.
Oh, yes.
And people can stay in touch and stay connected on the
Absolutely.
Website?
Absolutely, yes, yes. Please visit my website. It's Leslie, LeslieWaite.com. There'll be events in the libraries surround, you know, in this area in the South Shore. I'd love to be invited to some high school classes to talk to English classes. I used to be an English teacher in the city in New York.
Oh, wow.
So I would love any English teachers listening to me. You can invite me to your classes. I'd love to talk. I would do a workshop with your kids, whatever.
Oh,
and,
that'd be great.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? And then, I'll be in some libraries. But it will be on my website, LeslieMwaite.com, LeslieY. And then also you can follow me on Instagram, Leslie M. Waite on Instagram. So, yeah.
All right. Check Leslie on Instagram and also online to find out about those events. And, of course, we encourage you to go and pick up the book,
oh, yeah.
Jezebel, which is available now. And you mentioned we'll probably have to have you back again because you've got another book in the works.
Absolutely. It's a paranormal. It takes place in 2019 in New York City. It has magical realism in it. And, you can get my book on Amazon, by the way, be it Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Ingram Press for the indie bookstores. That's where you can get Jezebel. And, yes, please stay tuned for my next book.
All right. Leslie Myrovitz-Waite with us this morning. Leslie, it's been good to have you on WATD this morning.
Thank you so much.
FM, WATD, the South Shore's Morning News continues. I'm Rob Hakala with the morning team. Every week at this time, we check in with our tech guy, David Snell, over at Act Smart IT in Wareham. David, good morning.
And good morning to you, Rob.
All right, so this week we're going to be talking about data privacy and how it's getting harder to maintain. And you have some information to help with the process. Data aggregators.
Absolutely, data aggregators. We've talked about this in the past. And I really put not much stock in this in the past only because the problems weren't as big as they are right now, but with all the data breaches that we're hearing about around the country and around the world, our personal data is being aggregated, collected, compiled, and sold to be used for marketing and other many even nefarious type things, not just for marketing. So I thought it was time to revisit this. So what I've done recently is I've signed my family up with Opturi, which is one of the organizations that will actually help you remove all of your private data from the internet. And my exposure report, my first exposure report came back with 73 pages of information found about me on the internet. That's an awful lot of stuff out there that really doesn't need to be out there.
Yeah, that is a lot. I can't imagine. Well, I guess, as you said, all this does is just collects and collects and collects. So anytime you're mentioned, of course, here on WATD and elsewhere, you are a famous guy, after all. And
yeah,
so,
or infamous.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So so it just keeps stockpiling this stuff. Basically, it's out there, and these programs just compile it into big piles of data. But you're saying that you can have a good number of it, or can you have it removed?
You can have a bunch of it removed. There's always going to be some organizations that won't remove it, and we'll talk about a few of those in a minute here. But, yes, you can. If you sign up for any of the protection programs, they usually let you run a free scan or an exposure scan to see what your liability might be. And then you get to see a lot of the places that have your data that you would never even realize they had data about you. And in most cases, they will provide you with a do-it-yourself way to remove it. With 73 pages, I don't have that kind of time to remove it. So, as I said, I've signed the whole family up with the company to get the exposure reports on everyone and then enlist them to actually start the removal process to see how this all goes.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's a good experiment, and that's good to kind of keep us updated, I guess, as to how it goes with this process and, you know, how it helps you and the family.
Absolutely. So, and it's important because the more information they have about you, the more liable you are for, aside from the marketing, but the more liable you are for some type of hack going through social media or any of those other operations, that they have your information, they continue to gather the information, and they're hoarding it on us. So I really don't like people making money off information that I did not tell them they were authorized to download and to save.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're trying to get around this. We're trying to make it easier for everybody. I really think that everyone should take a look at this just to see what's out there on you and what you may not want to have out there, and then decide how you want to move forward. So a couple of the larger aggregators are also folks that we need to do business with. We have Equifax, Experian, Epsilon, and in many instances, you can actually opt out of the collection process. But if you're looking to improve your credit or get a home loan or anything like that, they have to have information on you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, that's information that you're giving out to them that they're taking and sharing with other marketers.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine, as you said, maybe you don't even want to find out what's out there, but you're probably a good idea to do it then. So,
yeah, you should, just to see what's there, because it may be things that are inaccurate as well, but that's data that's being shared amongst thousands of companies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. Cause I think for some people, you know, to pay or something, if it's just going to be marketing, that might be one thing. You could kind of let that go. Okay, this is awful, but you know, I can kind of ignore it. But I think it's the other stuff that's scarier, David.
Exactly. And we're always talking about the increasing amount of spam mail that we're getting. And this is where the majority of that comes from.
Yeah. All right. So you said that you can sign up and there is a plan where you can run a free scan on yourself.
Yeah. Most all of the companies, I put up a couple of companies that I looked into. These are not the ones that I absolutely recommend, but they are the ones that we're working with and we've signed up with to see how they work and how it actually works for us. But yeah, there are plenty out there, big ones, small ones. Folks may be a little bit adverse to the information that they want about you to run these scans because they do want your birth date, they want your address, they want things like that. But that's all important information to make sure they're finding the right person. the right information for the right person. So I recommend people look at it, at least run the free scan, see what's out there, what your exposure might be, and then decide how you want to move forward with it.
All right. David Snell, you've got the links up for people to find and to check out some of the different providers and services that do this. So read the article, and then you might want to at least do the free trial and kind of check things out for yourself, David. So where do people go?
People go to xsmartit.com and click on my blog link, and you get the information links and what some of the costs are for the programs that we're using or testing, and then look down the road 6 months, and we'll report back as to how things are looking after these all have been run.
All right. Good stuff. David Snell, the real David Snell, at AxSmartIT in Wareham, AxSmartIT.com. Thank you, David.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. Our Tech Talk segment. We do it every week at this time on WATD. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. As always, you can find us on your radio at 95.9 FM, mornings from 5 to 10, or online at 95.9WATD.com.
And you can catch up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can get the links at 95.9WATD.com/SS Morning News. And join us next week for another edition of the South Shore's Morning News Week in Review.